Hello, 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 and welcome to Motivate Her Podcast. It's your girl, Sherry. I hope everybody is enjoying the beginning of their July. Hello, July. You may hear an echo. I'm in the tub. Like, this is my quiet space, my thinking space, my peaceful place. I wanted to just drop in. I hear God, like, after working out, after doing everything and settling myself, I just sit and I allow God to just pour into me as I empty out to Him. And right while I was in the tub, I just said, Lord, I'm so thankful. And I think sometimes I'm learning this about me. It's not about the tangible things. I know we have things that we want, and you know, it's a blessing when you get those things, but you know, your needs are met daily: food, clothes, shelter, you know, and I thank God. So those other things, they're a plus. So I've learned to not, you know, obsess about things. You know, it's nice to have things and have nice things, but don't let those things have you. Because at one point in my life, you know, it was like you had to have the labels, you had to have, you know, your nails done, hair done. I mean, I still take care of myself, but I understand what's really a priority and what's a need versus a want. And I've experienced some Euroclydons, which that's like a really big storm. So over these past I'll take it back to November. November, I turned 50. Amazing. Everything about 50 is amazing. Lies people tell. Don't listen. Embrace it. In your 40s, it's your prep game. It's like your, what am I saying? Yeah, scrimmages. It's your scrimmage for 50. You know, to me, it only gets better. It gets better with age. Is more wisdom, more knowledge, more peace. That's if you're seeking those things. But nevertheless, like, it's like since November, it was like the story said, it was the best of times and the worst of times, because it was, I had an amazing birthday. I had a party. Me and my closest friends went to the Dominican Republic for my birthday. I mean, we had an amazing time. And fast forward, we get back, you know, it's about to be Thanksgiving because my birthday is in November. And, it's like a week or so later, Thanksgiving's coming up. And in that month, we noticed that my kid's great-grandmother, which I call her Gram, had started falling ill. So nevertheless, she had taken ill. I was still in college, which I still am. I'm on summer break, but my grades were slipping. It was so much going on. And we ended up losing Gram in January. So that was like, you know, a gut punch, and had to still go, you know, still got to go. You still got to keep on living. But, you know, I thank God for the time that I had her in my life. And I'm so thankful, you know, for that opportunity, because I lost my real grandmother at 12 years old. And then my best friend's grandmother, Dorothy Miller, that was like my, she was like my, right there, my Gram. That's what I used to call her. And she passed years ago. And then I was blessed again with my kid's great-grandmother, which that was Gram number two. And I was so blessed to still to have a grandmother figure in my life for all these years. So fast forward, things happened. I ended up having to move. The owner sold the place that I was living in. And I had been there for 17 years, and it was like a shock. I was like, oh my God, what do I do? And, you know, God is so amazing. And all He kept saying was, trust me, you know. And even through the, losing Graham and going through having to move, His word has been solid with me in this season from, you know, I'll take it back, like I said, for as far as back as November up until now, is all I hear God saying to me is, trust me. And so nevertheless, God again showed up big and mighty and had blessed me an opportunity, and I got a home for me and my children, and things kept going. And then, released a book, an anthology with myself and 26 other women. And it's called I Am Stronger Than the Storm. I got a new job. And I think things in life, I'm just talking about me like I normally do, so that you would understand that this is not something of some like browbeating type thing. And this is just me expressing myself and sharing with you the tools that God has given to me and to be able to survive some of the storms, you know. And I'll just talk about, you know, me. So nevertheless, today was just like, I'm so thankful. And yes, I said thank you to God multiple times, and I've been, oh, I'm so thankful. And it was like, you know, I think with me, I'm learning that, you know, you get many blessings and things happen good, but I keep going. And, you know, it's like, okay, my son just graduated. Glory be to God. He graduated from high school, and we're preparing to send him to college next month. So it's an ongoing thing. And my youngest, she's still in school. I'm going into the eighth grade. Honor student, is in junior honor society, doing well. So, you know, I keep going and going. And I don't think that I had settled myself to just appreciate, you know, being thankful in a place of stillness. You know, we can be, people think they're being thankful if they're posting and sharing. No, I didn't share. And it wasn't that I was being, you know, oh, well, why she didn't post her house or post the job. And no, I feel like everything has a time and a season. And it's not to be like, oh, look at this, God did it. Because God was doing amazing things while I was in the middle of a storm. I'm needing a place to live, and God blesses me with a whole entire new job that I didn't seek out for, really. They just pulled my resume and contacted me, and I was like, okay, I'll entertain this interview, whatever. I'm good. I love my job where I was, so it wasn't like, hey, I was trying to get out. I was like, okay. And it worked out, and things were, the benefits were there. And so it was like, okay, walk through the door. God's opened it. So a lot of times when we're constantly, you know, saying like, oh, you know, God did this, and we want to show the things, those are, he said, you know, set your affections on things on high, not the things on the earth, the things that rust away, you know, that the moths eat up. And I think we get so caught up in tangible things, and it's not about, I don't think people are boasting when they're posting their things, but I'm learning that, I'm thankful for me, for my life. I'm thankful for God's hand still being on my life when I know who I was, what I did, how God brought me out, how he continues to keep me, even in my murmuring and complaining and my little fits that I have when things suddenly, you know, when you hit that turbulence and you're like, oh my God, what am I going to do? And he's like, yeah, that's why you called my name, oh my God. But instead we'll say, oh my God, what am I going to do? But then we start doing, and we start trying to figure it out. And he's like, no, I told you in my word, cast your cares upon me because I care for you. So it's like, what do you want to do? Do you want to trust me, or do you want to trust in the systems of this world? Because never underestimate the fact that trusting God, it doesn't mean that I'm just going to sit and, oh God, God's going to do it. You know, he made it clear to me a long time ago, and I called Bishop T.D. Jakes, Pop-Up Jakes. And Pop-Up Jakes, he made it clear, God made the trees. He wasn't going to come and cut and make the chairs for us. So therefore, when God opens doors and makes ways, that means we still have to do the work. We don't sit, you know, because I know in the body of Christ, I heard so much when I was new, you know, in with serving God. Oh, I'm waiting on God. I'm waiting on God. And I used to think like, oh, well, I'm just supposed to wait, because I didn't know what that meant. And God, you know, over years and time learning, you're waiting in God, but you're not physically just sitting there hoping that someone comes and bails you out or fixes it. So I think my Thanksgiving as far as today is concerned is when I sit here and I look around and I'm like, he did the impossible. Where I had
I was in a house, a brand new townhouse for 17 years. And I had 30 days. You know, the landlord was like, hey, we're selling your house at the end of the month. And that's your last day. And by the way, the rent is also due. And I was like, wow, talk about gut punches back to back. So that was something that I had to like, okay, God, what do I do? How do I do this and not be angry, not be bitter, not be offended, not become depressed and oppressed and saddened? And all those emotions did show up. They did. And I had to keep, at one point I got to the place where I said, okay, God, this is on you. There's nothing I've done. Because see, you have to check sometimes, was it something that I did? Because we always run to God and say, you know, God, fix it. And sometimes it's situations that we made choices in, you know. So I try to make sure that I'm like, okay, God, really, before I come to God talking about this is on you, I ought to make sure I wasn't in the way. And of course, in that situation, it had nothing to do with me. It was just what they wanted to do. So I had to learn, one, to be thankful that I was in a place for 17 years and that God sustained me there. There were times where I lost jobs, companies closed, COVID came. I mean, you name it. In those 17 years, I've seen some things where I know I should have been put out. Lights could have been turned off. Things could have happened. But even when those times when jobs were lost and things happened, God sustained me and he kept me. So me sitting here today saying I'm thankful, it really isn't just looking around at this house. It's taking me back to the place of how God sustained me and my children for 17 years through the highs and through the lows. And I mean, he sustained me and kept me for 50. Let's not even go all the way there. Excuse me. So, a spirit of thanksgiving just fell upon me. And I just wanted to share that because I think sometimes when we're dealing with things, whether it be the children, the bills, the job, the coworkers, the family, whatever the situation might be, sometimes we hone in on those things and we forget the good things that God has done, the great things that he has done. He said, think on these things, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of a good report. So he's told us what to think on. And I think it's hard when at the moment you're like, well, I'm dealing with this and I'm dealing with this. And one thing that I'm still learning and I'm asking God, like, teach me how to do this. Because one time he said to me, when you come to the end of yourself, I can take over. But when you're in all of this, trying to figure it out and doing everything, you're in control and you're in the way. So you haven't given me complete control and haven't submitted and surrendered those things unto me. So I'm still learning that. But that's what I had to say to him like yesterday. It's like, how? Because sometimes we think some things, well, it's not that big. I can handle this. You know, it's nothing that major, God. You know, I got it. And in reality, you really don't, because you want a solution. And we want like a blueprint of, God, how do I get out of this? Or how does this, you know, we want him to, I do. This is just me. Sometimes I'm like, okay, God, so now what? So, and you know what I'm waiting for him to do? Now go left, go down the hallway, pick up the pen. Like, I want him to do that. I know I'm not by myself, but I do. I want him to be like, tell me so I don't keep making the same mistakes. And he's like, I just need you to be still and you'll be able to hear that small, still voice on the inside of you that'll give you the unction to make right decisions and to make the choices that I'm leading you to. And I'll use this for instance. Today I had went to like, on weekends I like to do like a 4-mile walk. So I walked today. And I love my walks because it's quiet. I get to hear God, see his beauty and you know, the grass, the birds. Like, I take in it all. So I had to get some things because my youngest has a cupcake business. So she has an order. And I was like, okay, well, while I'm out, I'll get the house things and I'll pick those things up. So I remember the traffic. It was like, you know, a little hectic because it's the holiday weekend and everybody's in the stores. So that one of the lines at the light was really long. And I said, well, I'm going to just dip over, cut around, and you know, because people who were traveling through the town, they didn't really know about the cutoff. So I cut on in the lane thinking that I was just going to go on and make a U-turn and go the way I was going to go home. And I ended up cutting into the Aldi's parking lot, like unbeknownst, no plans, because I was hitting that yield to get out of that traffic. And I veered right on over to Aldi's. And I said, okay, God. So I got out, went in Aldi's. So I went to Giant to look for strawberries because she needs them. They were like four something a pack. And then if you buy two, you get one free. I was like, nah, not doing it. So I left, and that's when I got and ran into all that traffic. So then I cut through, and I said, okay, God, I went in Aldi's. I said, because they usually have a pretty good deal. And I saw the they had like maybe six or so containers of strawberries. I was like, wow, let me get, I just need one, because she didn't need a lot. So I get in, this, it said, I think it, the I thought the sign said $1.99. And I was like, shoot, this is like way good. But I was like, I'm not getting a lot because we tend to let strawberries go bad. So I get to the register and the guy goes $1.09. I was like, look at you, Jesus. So I went on and paid, and I was like, wow. So I say that for the fact of that's that still small voice. There was not a megaphone where Jesus said, turn right, go into all this. He didn't say that. But when I took and wanted to cut, you know, take the shortcut for traffic, you know, it was just a piece about it. I was like, well, I'll go with Aldi's. And I knew Aldi's was there. The light was there. I know I have to pass there to get home. But I never in my mind was going to go to Aldi's. I was just like, I'll come back out later, run all the way across town to Harris Teeter because I know they had a sale. And it was a lot cheaper than Giant. And I was like, because that's me now. And I'll go to all the markets. I'll get the best deal. But Harris Teeter is my favorite. But nevertheless, I use that as an example of how God will order your steps. And I pray that a lot of times before I leave, I'll say, thank you, Lord, for ordering my steps in your word on today. So I don't know what exactly he's ordered for me, but I try to make sure that I adhere to the still small voice when I'm not anxious, in a hurry, rushing, overwhelmed, frustrated, annoyed, you know, all that that you get in traffic, that's me. So nevertheless, I got that good deal. And I was like, yes, God. So I'm saying that because it's like, be still and listen, because he brought me to a place of thanksgiving just from sitting in the tub. And it was like, girl, look at what God has done in your life in like a just like that. Where a lot of people have faced the same things and they're still looking. And it's not that, oh, God did it for me because I'm this and that. Nah, I will not, because he's not a respecter of person. What he did for me, he'll do for others. But I had no point, no place in my life to say, well, I'm going to do this. I'm going to find. Nah, I had to get out of my own way because I was getting on my nerves because I was worrying. I was stressing. I was, you know, and then I had to let pride go because, see, I, myself and my six-year-old were without a home and a place to live. She was six at the time. I was 29, maybe. And we didn't have anywhere to live. And we bounced around and slept on sofas and we went here and there based on my decisions and some choices that I made. So I went through that point in my life. So when this happened, it was like instantly the enemy tried to bring up old stuff. You know how troublemakers and some people are, they like bringing up old stuff. So like, yeah, look at you. You out here in church throwing your hands up, praising God, and don't even have nowhere to go. Yeah, and I opened the door to that. I entertained that for a little bit. And I was like, and it was taking blows to me. I was getting blows in my feelings, and I was feeling away, and I was like, oh my God, how do I get, you know, because I knew God was faithful and I knew that this was nothing that I've done, and no, God wasn't punishing me. You know, I had to go down and listen and check that. I'd start checking the devil like, listen, this is not that, you know. And I thank God for my oldest. She came in a room one day and she spoke life into me. She said, Mom, listen, this ain't that. This ain't when you and I, yeah, I'm saying ain't improper English, a lot of that. I'm doing it because I'm getting a point across. And she said, Mom, this ain't what it was when it was you and me. When we were homeless, that's what it was. She was like, my brother and sister are good. You're good. Everybody got a roof over their head. Nobody's wanting for nothing. She was like, so stop entertaining that. Mind you, my daughter is in her own space in her life, but I know that she knows God, and I know that she knows the voice of God, and I know he used her in that moment to make me pull myself together, because I was sinking, but I was keeping it together. And I would always just keep praying and keep talking to God, and not just about giving me a place, but I would say, God, those who have the needs that I have, because I was like, nah, this is just not about me. And I just began to, the more I would tell God, this one is on you, this one is on you, the more free I got, because I started seeing him move, and not even with providing the next house, but providing me with my peace and my joy again. Those things kept coming back. So I'm saying all of that just about being thankful. It says in, and I think it's Philippians, being content in those things, you know, whatsoever things are, you know, what did Paul say? I know how to be content. And pretty much he was saying, I know how to be all right when it's good, and I know how to be all right when it's bad. I know how to be really be all right when I'm broke or when I don't have, and I know how to be all right when I'm in the overflow. But see, that's the thing in the world. If we don't have something, we automatically go downhill. But when we have things, we on a mountaintop. But I come to say today, serve that devil notice and let him know, you know, because your language will make you stand up in God and be like, nah, that's not that. Because I'll say it in a minute. I'll never be broke another day in my life. I will never be in debt again another day in my life. I speak those things. He said, call those things that be not as though they were. You don't say that I'm broke, because my God is supplying all of my needs according to his riches and glory. I got everything I need, and I got some things that I wanted when I didn't have to be. He didn't have to allow me to get it. So I have to, you cannot have that mindset because the bills say, or this says, and how am I going to figure it out? God said, trust me. Do you trust me? So even in all things, and his word tells us, in all things, give thanks. He's not saying, okay, when I was having to leave, I was like, oh my God, but Lord, I thank you. I had to be like, I remember when all the furniture was gone, I think it was just, did I have my bed left? Nope. Everything went to storage like the few days before we had left, and I was just there cleaning, and my kids were going to go with their dad, and I was going to go with my oldest daughter, and they kept saying, well, when are you going to leave? And I said, well, I'm going to stay, and I'm going to clean. And they're like, you're sleeping on the floor? So for like the last 4 days in that house, I did. I just went and made a big pillow, fluffy pillows of comforters and stuff, and I would lie on the floor, and I would watch TV, and I would just talk to God, and I was, because I didn't know what to do, and what I didn't want to do was to bleed on my babies. I didn't want to bleed on people. I didn't want the woe is me's to interfere with who God says that I am. He said, let the weak say I am strong. So I had to learn to say that, and I had to learn to be that, and I had to learn to feel that, because a lot of times it's always about how we feel. I don't feel like it. I don't feel like I'm, you know, I'm feeling this church thing right now. I ain't feeling all of this. You know, I'm speaking from places that I've been to say, I'm feeling like, you know, God saying go live. And I'm like, God, you know, I don't really jive like that over Facebook. It's too messy. You know, I want to tell him the way I feel about it. He said, when I called you to a thing, it's an assignment, and you don't have the option to, not do what I've called you to do, or you will abort the assignment and the promise and the purpose that I've given you based upon disobedience. And we think that when we get, you know, God tells us, or people tell us, oh, this is on your life, you're going to do great things, dot, dot, dot. We think that's just going to happen. Come on, get out of here. It just doesn't work like that. So that means when I have an audience of one or the audience of 100, I got to bring this thing just like it is the stage that God has told me. In my heart, in my mind, in my spirit, man, I know what God said. Yes, he sent prophets to tell me, you were called to the nations. They said that years ago. Like, I'm telling you, my youngest girl was about 6 years old. She's 13. She might have been 5, but nevertheless, that was years ago. I wasn't out here going, yeah, because God called me to. Nah, because I didn't really know. That didn't make sense to me. Because it's like, okay, so how I'm going to get there? Because at the time, I wasn't speaking. I wasn't blogging. I wasn't writing books. I wasn't doing any of that. So I was like, okay, God, whatever. You know, I'm thinking he's like, okay, in the church. I don't know. Because when people, you have to go to God and say, well, what does that mean? How are you going to do this? And so pretty much it's like on this assignment and on this journey, there have been times where I've been like, I don't really feel like talking to them because they don't care and people are set in their ways. You know, I would give God all of my reasons on why I shouldn't do it. And he's like, well, you're in or you're not. And he said, a lot of people in this season are going to abort their purpose and their promise based upon an audience, based upon opinions of others. And he said, I thought that you asked me to deliver you from people and people's opinions. And I've asked that, and he's done that. And then I will wallow back, and then I'll have a moment, and God's like, no, you're either going to trust me or you're going to trust the world. And as fickle as they are, they like you today, they hate you tomorrow. You know, in his word, it shows they did it. It was Hosanna one day, and the next few days they crucified him. So he's like, okay, you're not any different. So stop expecting the world to embrace you during a journey that I called you to. And my thing with, you know, my youngest, she laughs because whenever they say cancel culture, she knows that I got a strong clap back in my shanana about that one. Because I feel like this, if God, what God called, can't nobody cancel. So I'm going to always hold on to that because I didn't ask God, give me, you know, okay, this is what I say. Okay, in church, I was under the drug program. My mother drugged me to church. I had no clue. And mom was like, she went to Methodist church. So I didn't really know about gifts and callings and speaking in tongues. And plus, I was just at church because she said, be at church. They said, sing. She said, sing, I sing. That was it. When I got older, I'm like, I'm out of here. And so I had like an aunt and family in Baltimore. My aunt would be in a closet, like praying and speaking in tongues. And one time I opened the closet and she's in there speaking in tongues. And I'm like, I took off running because I had no clue what that was about. So fast forward to getting saved and giving my life to God some years ago. And everybody in church is like, you know, they're doctor this, pastor this, evangelist this, prophet is this. Everybody's got a title. And I'm like, hey, look here. I just want to come to go to church. I don't even want to get involved like that. I just want to know like who Jesus is and like, why am I here? What is all of this about? So I'm just trying to be really transparent for people who don't know God and want to get to know God, but they don't want to get to know church. I get it. You know, the thing is, the Bible tells us for forsake not the assembling of your brothers and sisters, because see, that's where you fuel up at. That's where the anointing rests. That's where you get recharged. You get knowledge. You get your Bible study. You get your teachings. You know, you got to get in a Bible teaching and preaching atmosphere so that you'll be able to grow. But you also must seek wisdom and ask God for wisdom and ask him to give you the things to understand the knowledge of his word and who you are, you know. And don't go in because everybody say, oh, you can sing or you're gifted or you're this, because people like they live for that. And I tell people, I said, no, I'm losing my religion because I didn't really know what all of that was anyway. So it's kind of easy for this generation that is unchurched, that may not go to church, because then you'll just come in really thirsty for God and not that nonsense. So some people get offended, but in reality, because they're not going to know protocol of when, you know, Simon says leap, jump, sing, dance, but then you go home and you're still depressed or you're still drinking or you're still shacking up. So you got to be like, hey, I don't, because I had to tell God, like, hey, I didn't sign up for this because that's stupid. If I'm going to come to church and hang out with you and I love how I feel and I love what's going on, but then I'm still coming home and I'm still smoking a blunt and I'm still sleeping around, like, that doesn't make sense to me. How do I get out of this? So I had to seek God And I had to keep praying and I had to keep asking, and he dealt with me. It wasn't about somebody laying hands and saying, and not to say that that doesn't help and it doesn't work, but I was at a place of shame and embarrassment with some of the things that I had going on that I didn't really know how to go to people to say, you know, pray for me because I'm dealing with this. Because people aren't going to come to the pastor and be like, pray for me because I'm dealing with fornication. Pray for me because I'm still smoking blunts. And I just was at smoking blunts last night. And it's not a bad thing. It's just the fact that we in the body of Christ have to really learn how to open up and accept these things that people have going on so that they're not shunned when they come to church that way. They got to be welcome. We got to learn how to love on them from the place that they're in so that they can fall in love with Jesus, not Dr. Reverend, whoever else, but Jesus. Because when people fall in love with Jesus, everything about you will begin to change because you don't want to do anything contrary to what his word says about you. Yes, let me give that scripture. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. Yes, facts. But don't use that as your scapegoat every time you make a mistake. Because if once your mind is made up, he said, let this mind be in me, which is also in Christ Jesus. So once your mind is made up, you begin to think different. You begin to see things differently. And I know this had to be God that like scratched the record and made me go way over here, because I do understand I was talking about one thing and God said, nope, go here. So I got to do it. But I want people to be so comfortable with seeking God and not just on social media or on YouTube and Facebook. That's fine, because I won't say, you know, you need to come to church. You have to get if you've never served at church and you never had a relationship, God will meet you where you are. But ask him to send you people. Send people in your life that will help groom you to the place to walk in line to what he has for you. Don't talk about, oh, because I watched church yesterday. Okay, you watched church and you went and continued to do. So if that's your real desire, God's got what you need if you want it. You know, but I don't want people to be distant from God because the things that happen in church. Because let me tell you something, for people who want to say, oh, because the church ain't right, the church hurt me, the church did. Guess what? Nobody was more church hurt than Jesus. But guess what? He show up in the house of the Lord every time saints get together. Jesus still shows up. So who was more church hurt than him? Because people talked about him, told him he was Beelzebub. He was a demon. You know, they talked about Jesus. They told him when he went back to his hometown trying to help people, they told him, oh, you just a carpenter, son. Get up out of here. You know, they said everything about him. They called him everything but a child of God in most cases. They treated him wrong. So we've got to expect that everybody's not going to rock with us and like us, and we got to be okay with that. Because if he wasn't okay with that, he would have never laid down his life and stayed on that cross. Because he could have called the angels and called up heaven and been like, I'm out. I'm not doing this. These people don't care about me. That's what we say. Because we'll be like, Lord, I'm tired. Because I'm coming to church and there ain't nothing changed. Because that's us in our flesh. So we've got to ask God, how do I, tame this flesh for me? Because I can't tame it by myself. You know, I don't want the quick attitude, the bad attitude, the fussing at my children. That's unnecessary, because just like they tell the children, you know, if you honor your mother and father, you'll have long life. Guess what? It's a scripture in there. They tell the parents, don't provoke your children. So we got to understand that thing goes both ways. Wow, I love God so much. Like, I really, really do. I don't get it all right. I don't dot every I, cross every T. But I'm telling you, he's a wonder. Like, he's a way maker. He's a miracle worker. And if we would just really, really, really trust him. Because, you know, Proverbs 3:5-6 is my favorite scriptures. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. So he said, trust me. Because see, people always go, oh, I can't trust people. They ain't right. They hurt me. He never said, trust people. He said, trust me. He said, lean not unto your own understanding. So everything about us, We got to lay that to the side and be like, well, God, what you think about this? I do ask him that sometimes. I try as often as possible. Sometimes I'm already out there too deep and I'm like, well, you blew this one today, girl. But, you know, I always say he knew what he was getting when he got me. But I still don't hold on to that, oh, well, everybody mess up. Nah, I was like, okay, God, help me be better today than I was yesterday. Like, I don't want to keep just getting up like the movie Groundhog's Day and keep doing the same thing over and over. Now, I want to know, what is it that I missed? Or what is it that I'm in this situation? What have I done? What have I missed that you were trying to show me so that I can get it right? So I don't have to keep failing the fifth grade doing the same thing over and over and over. You know, God, I don't know. I'm super thankful. And I thank God for even my own deliverance of just speaking life into, you know, whoever is listening, but I'm speaking life into myself, because sometimes we get in those hard places. And in the word of God, it says, I believe it's over in Samuel, where David is like, hey, he had to encourage himself because he had the whole camp mad at him. Man, the people came and took the wives, they stole everything. And they looking at David, it's because of you. You did this, you messed this up. So what we gonna do? Some people was mad at him. So David's like, look, I gotta encourage myself. I'm good. I'm you know, God is amazing. So, you know, I always say people, you know, women, my single women, we always talk about, because I want a Boaz. No, I don't. No, I don't. I appreciate all the Boaz brought to the Bible that got everybody thinking he was a grand champion. All I know is Boaz had a lot of money and he treated Esther good. I don't know. I want me a David. Because I know David messed up, but David knew how to get, he knew how to chase. He was a man after God's heart. He knew how to pray. So that's what I need. Because if you don't got no money, guess what? You got prayer. You got a heart after God. God going to provide. You got money like boys, what you going to do when you run out? If you ain't in the right relationship with God. Like, I ain't saying that he wasn't. But I'm saying overall, everybody got in the mindset about Boaz. I need some more facts on him. I need a fact check on Boaz. Why everybody act like he the number one stunner? Nah, my man is David. You know, I need me a David in real life. Like, I don't need to be the only one in the house hickam and sighing around over the children and stuff. And my husband flicking through the games and he hear me back in warfare and he ain't never been back. I talk about, let me go handle this. That's what I'm going to need. Because prayer is like, woo. Yeah, prayer and right relationship with God, that's a winner. That's all the money you're going to need. Because I promise you, he going to open up doors that no man can shut. He going to shut doors that no man can open. Pressed down, shaking together, running over. That's the kind of God we serve. If we're in a right relationship and a right standing and doing, you know, it's not about a whole bunch of doing. Because everybody like, if I'm good, because I got a good heart. Child, please, God see all that other stuff that's in our heart. He don't see just the peekaboos that we show him. Let's not do that. But I'm ready to get out because I feel like Dennis the Menace, if anybody's old enough to know who he is, when he stayed in a tub so long and he was like, I can't get out until I'm wrinkled. Well, I think my toes and my hands are that. God, I stayed on longer than I expected, which glory be to God, because when he drops something in me, then it's like, you know, stick and move, drop it and go on. Not be concerned. He's like, stop being concerned about, you know, and I say this to every future entrepreneur, every future woman and man of God, everybody that has something on the inside of them that they want it out so bad and they're so afraid and they don't know how it's going to happen. Don't abort the promise based upon what you see. Trust that on that thing on the inside. That everybody goes, oh, something told me. Oh, baby, that was the Holy Ghost. That was Jesus. And it's okay if you don't know that. But when you get that something told me, go with that. Because I promise you, God ain't going to lead you somewhere that he ain't going to bring you out of. So, yeah, keep being thankful. You know, that's my main thing. Keep being thankful. Be thankful for $5 like you're going to be thankful for $5,000. Because God said, if I can't trust you with little, I can't bless you with much. So don't worry about if you ain't riding in a 2022 and you might only got a 2,000, maybe 10, whatever. I don't care. Because I'm going to ride whatever God say ride until he say next. And not be concerned with what everybody else has. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on the promises of God. Not on the world system, on who got the biggest house, who got the latest car. Well, God bless them. Happy. I'm a big cheerleader and a fan to see people winning. But I got to be in my lane and I got to kill it in my lane. So that means I got to kill it in my 2016 Honda. That's what I got to do. And I got to kill it in that lane until God releases me. But see, he's releasing people to appreciate where they are and what they have. Because baby, that Honda is like a Range Rover right now. She stay clean and oil changed. I take care of her good. You know, I don't sit up and say, oh, I see the new Honda. I got to get that. No, I don't. Indeed, God knows I don't. Baby, we got to get you all taken care of. That's what we're going to do. And keep you looking good and clean. And keep right on and keep this house right nice and good. So when I'm ready to go purchase this house, that's what we got to understand. Be thankful in what you got. Be thankful in your apartment. Be thankful in your townhouse, in your condo, in which you're renting, because you're about to own. You know, be thankful if your business starting off slow. Don't give up on it, though. Don't pack your bags up and be like, I'm done. I've been doing this a long time. The people in the Bible did things for 10 years, 13 years. They was in jail for years and years and years before they seen any of those promises come to pass. Look at Joseph. But that man brothers sold him to slavery. He went to jail. Jesus showed him dreams that he was going to do all this stuff. That man had to go through some stuff. David was in the field. He was promised to be the king. He was, but guess how? It took a long time. So sometimes we got to be patient with the process and be thankful right where we are. Man, I'm getting out of here because I feel you, Jesus. So I know it might just be about me and you now. Blessings and love to you all. Share, share, share. Pray that this gets to the right ears, that they say, that was for me. God bless you. Enjoy your day.